everyone. I'm Mark Moore from the Southwest Cyber Resilience Centre. I'd like to welcome you all to the latest in a series of podcasts from us. Don't worry if you haven't caught all of those podcasts, you can access them through our website at www.swcrc.co.uk or through Buzzsprout. If you and your business haven't joined the SWCRC as yet, don't forget our core membership's free and we can provide you with National Cyber Security Centre products to keep your business safer online. This podcast is about backup and it will take just over 10 minutes. I'm joined by Ed from RedStore, who's kindly here to help take us through that subject matter. But if you have any questions, please do email us at inquires@swcrc.co.uk. We'll do our very best to answer them for you. Ed, thank you so much for joining us. I'm really grateful to you. Well, I'm delighted to be joined today by Ed Rennick. Ed, shall I let you introduce yourself, because you're such a great speaker, and a little bit about your company too, before we get into the meat of the discussion?
Hi, Mark. That's very kind of you. Lovely intro, as always. I'm one of the partner managers at RedStore. I've been here for 2.5 years now, but I've been in the industry for, I'm like the Gandalf of this industry now, less the beard, but I've worked in this, in the data protection environment for 24 and a half years now. In terms of what RedStore do, we are a data protection vendor, but a very unique one in that it's a software only play. And in the world we live in now, that becomes more and more important, that lack of hardware predication that we're trying to kind of promote. RedStore effectively provide backup, recovery. They have unique ways of accessing the data instantly. And that might be data local, it might be in the cloud with Google, it might be with Microsoft, it might be in many different guises. It's making sure that data is encrypted, protected, taken off site, and is accessible when you really need it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm interested in your experiences about working with small businesses. And of course, SWCRC is effectively a small business as well. What exactly is the risk to me if I don't back up my data? You know, I lose a few emails. What's the impact on my company if I don't have some sort of version to go back to?
It's a great question. And you know, I've been doing disaster recovery right back when this was a kind of prehistoric method where we'd rock up with a van with tape libraries and take weeks to do this stuff. The world has moved on and the technologies have moved on to make backup really easy. Backup and recovery are much easier processes than they've ever been. But the implications of not backing up your data now are just the permutations of that are untold. And that's at a compliance level, at a reputational level. If you think about the world we live in now, everything's online. And reputational damage from an outage perspective is the one thing that organizations struggle to put a number against. And that doesn't matter whether you're a small business or the world's largest company. Reputational damage is something that's very, very difficult to recover from. Not just that, data now is the new gold. And this is, all companies are not just seeing data to hold as important, but actually what can they do with the data? How can they read it? How can they improve their business? If you're not backing up your data, you have no means to do any of that kind of processing. But worse, the world we live in now is full of virtual threat actors. And I've never in 25 years seen the threat level be so high as it is now. That alone is a reason for any organization to ring fence their data and make sure they can recover it. Doesn't necessarily mean that all of the data needs recovered. It's really the key thing in data protection and backup is working out what of your data is important to you. And normally in my experience has been, we'll have an organization, it doesn't matter how big they are, they could be backing up all of the files, but when the disaster event occurs, it's typically only 5, maybe at the most 10% of all of that data that they've got backing up that they actually need in that recovery scenario. So it's all about having access to that data, but choosing the right data for the right level of backup and recovery. So it's all about what data is important when you really need it.
So I'm interested in that. Talk me through that. How do I work out which of my data is the most important for me? What sort of stuff does a business traditionally need to hang on to?
Many organizations, if you ask a user what's the most important information, they'll always tell you it's their emails. Mm-hmm. For a business, it's usually the finance side of things. It's the spreadsheets. It's the SQL databases, the things that you need, the checks and balances of the business to continue operating. We can always generate a new proposal. We can always generate a new Word document or take another picture. What's very difficult to generate is financial figures, all of your customer data, all of that stuff that you really need to continue operating, servicing your existing base in whatever business you have. So typically it's all of the transactional data that would be at the very top of the food chain in terms of priority. And then it's personal data right alongside that as well, because obviously that's just as important as the transactional piece to keep the business running. And every business is different in what they deem important to them. But from a very high level, your financial stuff, the stuff that actually keeps the business running, all your customer data, that would be what I would instantly deem as critical. Emails, images, videos, and your security recordings that are just going to overlay each other are not so critical.
Okay,
and it might
sense.
Be an organization doesn't deem areas of, they may have all of their environment in the cloud. And even having all of your data in the cloud doesn't answer all of the security questions for you.
Because if I can jump in there, that's something that I did want to talk about, because we hear a lot with small business clients that, you know, we've got 365, it's in the cloud, so we're backed up anyway, aren't we? So where do additional products fit into that? Why would I need more backup if Microsoft's doing it for me?
That is the biggest misconception that I've seen in our industry in 25 years of doing this. Because this comes from the old methodology, the 3-2-1 rule of backup that everybody has been adhering to for forever and a day for the last 35 years since we were doing this stuff. And it's about three copies, two locations, one of those locations being somewhere else offsite. And what that was in historic times was someone did a tape recording, they copied all the data and they took it back and they stuck it in the loft. That's an offsite copy in the old world of doing things. Now, when we had the big push to the cloud, that forced migration into 365 environments, into Google environments, AWS and Azure, and all this panic because we can't get our hands on the kit and we can't get our people into the buildings. There was a massive push, and I'm talking about 700% user increase on those platforms. So you're talking about a lot of people haven't been forced to move the data, what they were working on typically locally, had part of this 3-2-1 rule, and now they've moved it into the Microsoft cloud. You're absolutely bang on. The perception was it's Microsoft, it's Google. They're going to be backing up with data because it's offsite. The reality is something very different to that, because really, if we think about what we've done in that scenario, all we've done is we've taken production data and we've taken it from a production environment and put it in another production environment somewhere else. We've given ourselves an offsite, but we've moved where the primary store of our data is now. It's not local, it's now offsite. So we've still got to then carry that offsite rule with the data that's offsite. So we've now got a primary environment that's been moved somewhere else offsite. We've still got to apply that 3-2-1 rule and have three copies, two locations, one being somewhere else, because what if Microsoft have a bad day? What if Google have a bad day? Because the reality is, if they do have a bad day and the user goes back and says to Microsoft, I've lost my files, get them back for me, Microsoft are going to go, no, mate, that's your responsibility. And you should have maybe read section 6 of your EULA that tells you all of the things that we don't take responsibility for, which, by the way, Mark, are all, it won't be lost on anyone to realize that all of the things that Microsoft and Google take no responsibility for all of the killer reasons why people are having problems with data security, data threats, malware, and ransomware, and all of these things. They're all the things that Microsoft take no responsibility for, neither do Google, by the way. So they have an ability for you to archive your data, what they call long-term retention. All you're doing is stretching variations of production data to be kept longer. We're not copying that data and putting it somewhere securely so that when that's corrupted, we've got a clean copy that we can recover from. And that's probably one of my biggest daily challenges, is helping organizations realize that Microsoft, these hyperscalers, are not protecting the data. They're just protecting themselves.
And you're right. You started out speaking about the really high level of threat. And at the time that we're recording this, it's the same day that Joe Biden's coming out and talking about Ukraine and small businesses getting their games in order and getting match ready in case there's cyber attacks in a minute, which I think is really interesting for us. So what would be your sort of one recommendation for a small business? This whole thing can be a little bit confusing. What's the one thing that they need to do today to get themselves safer?
They need to find a technology that is easy to use, completely predictable for them, and takes all the pain away that is associated with backup and recovery of files. And the pain I'm talking about is the GDPR pain, the audit pain, all of the things that these guys are now on the hook for is the data controller. So in the world of GDPR and all of that, while ever there's no backup process in place, that the owner of the data, the small businesses of this world, are deemed as the data controllers. They control all of that data. As soon as they implement someone like a Red Store or another third-party tool that will protect the data and recover that data, they release all of the risk they have, all of the onus that is on them at that point with GDPR compliance and all of that good stuff around right to be forgotten and personal use of data. That responsibility is then moved and shifted right across to the vendor. And we then become the data operator and we take all of that responsibility away. So it's about finding an operator that's going to give you a simple billing model. It's going to be very easy to use. You set and forget it, but it's going to be there when you need it, when you need to get it, the data. That's really what I'd recommend for these guys. But overarching all of that, someone who's going to take all of the risk away at an audit, at a compliance level for all of that data that's now being protected. And someone like Red Store would do exactly that.
That's really helpful. I think, you know, small businesses, we always retain a degree of responsibility, don't we? And I think it was over the last week or so that the ICO fined the company nearly £100,000 for being breached and yet just not protecting their stuff properly. So I'm conscious this is an area that we're going to hear a lot more about in the future. Ed, I'm really grateful to you for taking the time today. I think some myths that we've dispelled there and some good food for thought for our people.
It's been a pleasure. And I think if I can leave the guys with anything, size of your organization has absolutely no merit in the world of these threat actors. A small business is just as much, if not more, risk than a large corporate. The large corporate have a lot more measures. They have a lot more gates that these guys have got to get through. The assumption is, as you move down into the small businesses, there's usually no protection in place at all. And it's like an open door for these guys. It's very easy to implement measures to mitigate that kind of risk.
Thank you, Ed. Some great food for thought there. And lovely to speak with you today.
Thanks. Cheers. Mark.
So thanks for joining us today. And we hope that you catch up with our next podcast coming soon. Don't forget, if you haven't already joined us as a free core member yet, just go to our website, www.swcrc.co.uk, and you'll get NCSC National Cyber Security Centre products, which will make your business safer online. Stay safe. Goodbye.